There's so many themes in the scripture readings for today, but at this time in the life of the parish, I want to challenge each and every one of us to think about our identity, our purpose, and our mission. And that's what's resonating with me this morning as I've been reflecting on all of the readings, which we're going to touch on them all, but just think of identity, purpose, and mission. And I wanted to start with a few words from the Gospel, Luke 4. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. We are well into the season of Epiphany, and in the liturgical calendar, we have entered what the church year sometimes calls ordinary time. And as you know, the church gives us strong hints, some signals of what time of year we're in. And if we look around, we'll notice what? Green. And green represents ordinary time. But ordinary time is not ordinary, because green also stands for growth and vegetation and all of that stuff. And so we also know that it's a season of growing, isn't it? Season of growing spiritually, growing numerically, and growing in terms of our impact in the community. Last week, we reflected on Christ's first sign at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. And we're reminded of that every time we enter the enter this place of worship, don't we? Because on the wall is a scene from the wedding at Cana of Galilee. And we had some interesting conversations about that. And we know it generally as the first recorded miracle of Jesus when he turned water into wine. But today, we hear about Luke's account of Jesus' return to his hometown. Now, at the beginning of a new year, generally, we make our New Year's resolutions and we look at our priorities. And I'm sure that many of us have looked at our priorities for 2019. And today we get an overview of Jesus' purpose, Jesus' priorities, and Jesus' mission. From the scripture we heard, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And this is straight from Isaiah. "Because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to release the captives, to recover the sight of the blind, to free those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And we too are reminded that in our baptism, we were anointed to go out with good news for a hurting world as we follow the example of Christ. But when we look at the letter of Paul to the Corinthians, some added aspects of our purpose and mission are explained to us. Because Paul encouraged the people of Corinth to be true, active witnesses in proclaiming their faith. And we are also reminded that as members of the church, we are not passive bystanders. We are involved, we are engaged, and we are actually members of Christ's body. And as such, we all have a role to play. Now, Paul's congregation in Corinth was a fractured group. And if you've ever been part of a church family experiencing dissension or division, you know that you're in good company. Because all across the Christian world, there are issues around turf, there are issues around mandates, there are issues around policies and procedures. It's like any other organization. But this letter is Paul's appeal for unity, reminding the Christians of Corinth that there are more issues that unite them than what divides them. And this is still a relevant message for the whole church. So the words of Paul are still resonating with Christians everywhere. And we too must take a good look at what makes sense to us at St. George and Young. What makes us, what brings us together? What is it that keeps us united as one body in Christ? Not just as a church, but also in our personal ministry. And Paul reminded the Corinthians of their baptism, that they're all brothers and sisters, one in the Spirit and one in the Lord, and one in mission. He'll tell them that this is Christ's church, where there's a place for everyone, no exceptions, because all are welcome in the house of God. And we too must heed this advice as we discern our priorities for Christian service in our neighborhood and beyond. But I must say that there are still those today who think of the church as a hierarchy, don't we? And it's positioned that way, let's face it, with bishops, with clergy, with laity, with different committees that are working and some that are not working. And even the way we structure, if anyone who has ever been to synod, you would know that when there are votes at synod, all the governing bodies of the church, we vote in houses. So the House of Bishops would vote the clergy and the laity, and the votes are counted separately. Certainly, it's not, quote-unquote, an equal vote across the board, because we vote in houses. And that perpetuates the perceptions around differences. But Paul is very, very clear. He offers a different image of the body of Christ, in which every member, each with his or her own gifts, is valued, and where each of us clearly understands our own vocation. Paul is also very clear that no vocation is more important than the other, and he used the analogy of the human body, where each part is important because if one part doesn't function, it affects the entire body. And we as a church must recognize that if the altar guild doesn't do its work, then it affects us all. If the counters are not here, it affects us all. If the readers are not here, it affects us all. And heaven forbid, if the clergy or the preacher isn't here, then it affects us all. It probably affects me more than if I don't show up, won't it? there might be some consequences, right, wardens? So we say that in a sort of humorous way, but in fact, in reality, everything that happens behind the scenes, and you can ask the envelope secretary, when we don't do things right, it affects the work of Anne's work, because it means that it doubles or triples her work. And we should all be conscious of that. For whatever we do to serve each other and to the glory of God. So let us be mindful that what we do affects each other. Every vocation in the church is valued. The music is valued. The servers are valued. The deacons and subdeacons are valued. But when we look at the gospel reading, and I wanted to focus on that for a few minutes, Jesus also reads aloud from the Holy Scripture. And I would imagine that he really shocked the crowd when he claimed that God's prophecies had come to life in their hearing. And one of the reasons probably why the crowd was surprised is that this was a hometown boy. And I say that respectfully, someone going back and claiming that the scriptures were referring to him. I don't know about you, but I would imagine that the people who saw us as young people growing up, they always think of us as we were, don't they? I still have people referring to me as Sunny Boy, you know, the respected elders in the community, because they've forgotten that 50 years have gone by, or whatever number of years have gone by, 60, whatever it is, of lost count. But this is probably the reason, more importantly, why Jesus' purpose, his reason for his earthly ministry, is clearly articulated to people who might have known him or who might have heard of him. Naturally, he was away for a number of years. So the gospel reading, which clearly states the words from the prophet Isaiah, says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor." And for those who have been following the week of prayer for Christian unity, you might recall that the theme for this year is justice, and only justice you shall pursue. And certainly we hear this message from the gospel reading for today, don't we? We are quite fortunate to have participated as one of the sponsoring churches of the ecumenical service at St. Edward's Catholic Church, right here on Churchill Avenue, marking the week of prayer for Christian unity. I wanted to publicly thank Doug, Hayes, Hazel, Perkin, and Yeah, you've been away too long, Kay. Sorry about that. Kay was away for 6 months and now I've forgotten her name. Kay, you for representing St. George and Young. And it was a wonderful service, and we're sorry that you missed it. But here were we as a community of believers, people who crossed denominational lines in order to worship together. And it's certainly an example of what is happening around the Christian world at this time of year. Interestingly enough, in case you didn't notice, the week of prayer for Christian unity falls between two saints' days. What are they? St. Peter and St. Paul. And there is a logical reason for that. And I'm sure that you've noticed that Peter, the rock on which the church was built, and Paul, the one who is credited for taking the gospel to so many places. And it's a lesson to us, because I think that the scripture is reminding us of how we should function, that we build solidly and then we evangelize. Not just physical buildings, but we build spiritually. We build in every way, and then we lead by example. So we couldn't really evangelize if we ourselves are not faithful, because we lead by example, don't we? And you know the old saying, we can't teach what we don't know, we cannot lead where we don't go. And so there's a message in the week of prayer for Christian unity, building the strength of Peter, evangelizing the strength of Paul. And that's why it falls within that week. But we must move on. So what can we learn from today's readings to help us in our daily walk with Christ? I want to suggest three things very quickly. From the Old Testament reading, from the book of the prophet Nehemiah, you would have noticed that the people of God took the word of God seriously and with due respect. Could you imagine going to worship at the crack of dawn and standing listening to the word of God until midday? I don't think too many people will hang around, don't. But in the early church, and if you look at what happened, particularly in the Middle Ages, there were no pews in the churches. People came in, stood, listened for sometimes a few hours. And I must say that in some of the Orthodox churches, that is still the tradition, that people stood and listened to the Word of God. Now, there are some parameters around that, and it has to do with the reverence for and respect for the Word of God. Now, we acknowledge that we have been gifted with intellectual skills, but at the same time, we acknowledge that there are holy mysteries which transcend human understanding, which are revealed over time through the study of Scripture. So from the Old Testament reading, I would suggest that one way of learning from what has been said in the book of the prophet Nehemiah would be for us to be a little more careful around the use of Scripture, the Word of God. From Paul's letter to the Corinthians, the message that comes to me at this time is the unity of the body of Christ. Although Paul did go into a lot of details, the cohesion, the working together for the common good, using all of our gifts in humble service to God. And at St. George on Young, there are so many opportunities for us to use the gifts with which we've been blessed. And we'll be calling on you. We'll be calling on each and every one of us to do at least one task for God and for the church. So if you have not yet agreed to do anything for the coming year, there's room for you. If you're busy, we understand and respect that, but just set aside a few minutes. We can all make telephone calls. We can all welcome people. There are so many things that don't require lots of time. And of course, from the gospel reading, we have examples from the life of Jesus. And I wanted here to emphasize public witness and corporate worship. And we hear from this, from the gospel reading, that Jesus went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. Now, do you think that Jesus needed to be there? I don't really think that Jesus needed to be at the synagogue. He's God. He knows everything. He's perfect. But I think that the message is the discipline of regular corporate worship as part of the life of a Christian. There's no doubt that we develop a personal relationship through prayer, through the study of Scripture, and our unique experiences through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. But there is also an opportunity for our faith to be strengthened and our lives enriched by communal worship and our relationship with each other. Jesus also taught in the synagogue. And one of the ways by which Jesus revealed his identity was by teaching. And we too must reveal our Christian identity to others by what we do. And of course, as Paul's letter to the Corinthians reminds us, we are given gifts for ministry. And as part of the body of Christ, we share those gifts as a sign of our personal witness, working with others in carrying out God's mission to the world. And the church recalls the lives and witness of its saints as examples for us in our daily walk with Christ. And recently we've been celebrating lots of saints' days. On Friday it was the feast of the conversion of St. Paul. And yesterday the church celebrated the memory of two saints who were the assistants to Paul as he went on his missions and evangelizing the area. And we're referring to St. Timothy and Titus, Saints Timothy and Titus. And so these are all examples for us to look at. So St. George and Young, what if we were to revisit the words of Jesus today and apply them to us and ask ourselves, what are we doing right now to fulfill God's mission and purpose for us as a church? What are we doing to proclaim God's word and to reveal our Christian identity in our daily walk with Christ? How would we identify ourselves as individuals or as a church? Who are we? What would we say is our purpose in carrying out God's mission here at St. George and Young? We have good news. We recently got started on our mission action planning to help us identify priorities for Christian service in the church and in the community. And I hope that we will all respond to God's call to use the gifts with which we've been blessed to honor God and to serve each other. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks that in our baptism, through water and the Holy Spirit, you give us new birth. Cleanse us from our sins, claim us as members of your family, and empower us to welcome others as you have welcomed us. This we ask in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.